From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Phil Jackson has some advice for Thunder fans. Pace yourself. The Dodge Sports Desk, I'm Mike Sherman, and this is Inside Thunder Basketball with Darnell Mayberry. Darnell, the Lakers swept into Ford Center on Tuesday night with a shock and awe first quarter, took the Thunder out of the game and cruised to a 107-89 victory. But the day before, Phil Jackson told the LA media that he thought Oklahoma City fans need to learn the NBA game. Is he right?
Well, no, I don't think he's right. I mean, this is not Oklahoma City's first go-round with the NBA anymore. I mean, this is the third season the NBA has been in town. I think what he's trying to say is that, you know, fans stand and cheer for that first basket. And I guess he feels like they sit on their hands the rest of the three quarters and only sort of make noise when there's a run. I've been out to L.A. several times. It's a much different story in the Staples Center. Compared to, you know, when you compare the Ford Center crowd to the Staples Center crowd, it's no comparison. I think what he's witnessing is both times the Lakers came in here, it was sort of a head kicking. The Thunder wasn't really in the game. They made it interesting down the stretch, their first meeting, but they never led Tuesday night against the Lakers in the blowout loss. And you know, they didn't give the fans a reason to cheer. So if Phil Jackson came in here when some of the better games were played inside the Ford Center, I think he'd have a different take.
Here's the direct quote. They haven't quite figured out the NBA game, the length of it. They get all fired up in the beginning, and it's a marathon. It's 48 minutes of basketball. It's not like college where you can come out and get a 10-point lead or a 15-point lead, and you can win the game. Isn't that just what the Lakers did exactly last night?
Yeah, they came out. It was a 37-20 lead the first quarter, 62-38 at the end of the halftime. They led by as many as 24. They never relinquished the lead. So, you know, the Lakers did just that. So I don't know exactly what he's talking about. When you're a better team than another team in the NBA, that's what you do. And that's what the Lakers did to the Thunder.
Maybe he was talking the Thunder can't do that and hold on. Next question, Darnell. Has Russell Westbrook hit the rookie wall?
I think so. When you look at his last five games, I mean, he's averaging 12.4 points, shooting 31.9% from the field. The guy is really not the same player that we saw January and February. March has been a really tough month for him. Kevin Durant was out most of the early part of March. Russell Westbrook did not really put it together and really go forward like you probably expected him to when Jeff Green was out also for a few games in the month. So, you know, I really think that what's really impacted him is that he wasn't playing big minutes early in the season. I think now he started playing those big minutes, and I think it's catching up with him.
What's really caught up to him is in the shooting percentages. However, if you look at the effort, the rebounds. His rebounding is steady and steadily improving. Last two games, though, shooting 19% from the field. Do you see this as something that hits every rookie? And we talked about this when Chris Paul was in town. Are some rookies able to play through it?
No, well, Chris Paul hit it, too. I mean, there were days you saw Chris Paul in his eyes his rookie year that he was just worn out. And I'm seeing that same look out of Russell Westbrook. Before games, he's sort of losing focus. I mean, he's not as focused as he is. I mean, he goes out and he plays with good energy. I mean, the guy is a little energy bug. I mean, he really has a lot of energy. But, you know, I just don't see that same look in his eye. I think he's sort of ready for the season to be over, these last 11 games to be done with. And I think he's ready for summer vacation.
Okay. Speaking of a guy who's gotten a vacation, Earl Watson seems to be currently occupying the Chris Wilcox seat on the Thunder bench. He hasn't played in six games. Darnell, why?
You know, I think there are several factors to this. I mean, you know, first of all, Scott Brooks said he wanted to give Chucky Atkins a chance. He's done that. Chucky Atkins has proven that, you know, he really doesn't deserve that chance. He's known as a shooter, and he can't hit a shot at this point. So he's not effective, and he's still not going back to Earl Watson. I think basically, and I'm writing about this for Thursday's editions of The Oklahoman, Earl Watson is basically out of the plans. He's out of the rotation, and I don't think he's going to be in the plans going forward. He has one more year on his contract. I think you can expect to see Sam Presti, the Thunder GM, try to buy out Earl Watson. If he can't make a trade for him in the offseason, sometime before the draft or after the draft, I think you can see or expect Earl Watson to try to be traded before the season starts or bought out if they have to go into the season with him.
We've talked about this before. Might not be easy. I think he's owed like $6.5 million next season. The irony of this is Earl hasn't played since an 18.7 assist, 6 rebound performance in Denver, probably his best game of the year.
Yeah, and you know, Earl Watson has said that his hand, that thumb injury that he sustained last season, is finally getting better. It's finally healed, and he felt like he was putting it together with that Denver performance. I mean, he was the really lone bright spot in that Denver game, which was another blowout really handedly by the Nuggets. So Earl Watson is sort of disappointed that it came after his best performance of the season. He felt he was putting it together. The thumb is feeling better. But now Scott Brooks is just going in the direction of Russell Westbrook and Chucky Atkins.
Okay, speaking of DNPs, Tuesday night's loss to the Lakers was the kind of game that can drive Thunder fans to saying, if only we had Tyson Chandler, just the way the Lakers dominated inside. But have you checked out Tyson Chandler lately? Here's what's going on in New Orleans. Three straight games out with what's called left ankle soreness, and he's missed 25 of 59 games this season. Is it time everybody moved on from this Tyson Chandler thing that didn't work out for the Thunder?
Definitely. I mean, this was more than a month ago that they rescinded this trade. I think Tyson Chandler would have been a fantastic fit here. He's a great player in terms of what he does, defense and rebounding, shot blocking. An even better person, if you ask me. But I just think it's been time for people to move on. The Thunder really can't dwell on what they did not get in Tyson Chandler. He would have helped, obviously, but I mean, the guy is not playing now, so you can kind of see why they rescinded the trade. I mean, they're calling it ankle soreness, the sprained ankle that he suffered earlier this season that he's sort of dealt with throughout the season. But who knows? It could be the toe, it could be something else, and they're just calling it ankle soreness. But what's definitely clear is that the guy is injury prone. I mean, he always has something, whether it's a toe or a back or an ankle. It's always something that's keeping Tyson Chandler out of games. And, you know, I just don't think that they could have risked $25 million in today's economy on a guy who's injury prone.
Okay, Darnell, the Thunder was obviously trying to address its, you know, interior defensive issues, which really were evident last night against the Lakers. What or who will the Thunder move on to in that category?
Well, I think there's some big men in the draft this year that you look at. Jordan Hill out of Arizona, 6'11" guy who can change shots with his rebounding and shot blocking presence. He's an athletic guy, sort of in the mold of that Tyson Chandler. Not as tall, perhaps not as athletic, but he's a tall guy who they might have their eye on. Another guy has seemed to beat who I think you don't like.
Yeah.
You probably Stiff comes to mind in your mind when you think of to beat. But I like him. I mean, the only thing that I don't like about to beat is that, you know, with the 3-second rule in the NBA game, he can't camp out in the paint like he can in college. And he's not as agile and mobile as you'd like him to be, to where he can get in and out of the lane and sort of get to shots and on from the help side quickly enough to change shots and be an impact player like he is on the college level. But there are some guys in the draft, and then there are also some guys that, you know, they're banking on Nick Collison. They're looking for continued improvement out of him. Then Nat Kerstic is a guy that they still want to focus more on rebounding and shot blocking. So, you know, I think they have several tools. Serge Ibaka is a guy that they still have stashed overseas. Devon Hardaway, who they tried to trade in the Tyson Chandler deal. You never know what he could bring if they decide to keep him. So they have options.
Okay, speaking of one of those options, DJ White went to Tulsa, played three really strong games, now back with the team, and may play any time. Could play as early as Friday in Toronto. Is he or could he be part of that interior answer?
You know, I think so. I mean, I got a chance to see him in Tulsa. I wrote about him in Monday's paper. You know, he is a player. For those who haven't seen DJ, if you're not familiar with him from his Indiana days, he was the Big Ten Player of the Year. He's versatile on offense. He can bring you some things in the pick and roll game. He can step out and hit a 17-footer consistently. You know, he does a lot of different things. He can score with his back to the basket. Defensively, I think, you know, it's harder to play defense in the NBA than it is offense. I think it'll take him a while to adjust to the NBA game from a defensive standpoint. But he showed some shot-blocking skills. He's a heck of a rebounder. So I think he could step into the Thunder's lineup right now and challenge Nick Collison for the best rebounder on the team.
Okay, Darnell, finally, when this week is over, will the Thunder be able to tell us who the next NBA champion is? They started the week with the Lakers at the Ford Center, and they ended, if you count Sunday, in Boston.
I don't think you have to wait to the end of the week. I think we just saw it Tuesday night. The Lakers are, I think, that much better than a lot of teams in this league, most of the teams in this league. I think Cleveland and Boston are right there. They've already gone into Cleveland and gave the Cavs their only home loss. So, you know, I think that's going to bode well for their confidence going into a potential finals matchup against Cleveland. When they get Andrew Bynum back, that team's going to be tough to match up with when you look at Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom, and Andrew Bynum across their front line. Kobe Bryant is a guy who can still take over games whenever he wants to. I think the Lakers will be your next NBA champion.
Okay, thanks, Darnell. That's all for Inside Thunder Basketball, but you can stay with all things Thunder with the best coverage team every day when there's okay and every morning in the Oklahoma.